This is going to be a different kind of tidbit, okay? Mainly, well, for whatever reason. It's not exactly a teaching tidbit. Someone asked me several weeks ago, you know, how do you and Lynn come up with those things? And I honestly sort of dismissed that by saying Spirit, right? Well, the Holy Spirit decided to teach me a lesson on that. Don't be so flippant, Jan. And so what I realized is the process that I went through for this one, which you always start like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to say? And you take the title and you hope somehow or another it connects together, right? And so this one I was having a little trouble with, frankly. And I was trying to force it. It wasn't working. And so what I thought is I would share with y'all sort of the process of what happens with me when I do one of these things. Okay, because it's not a commentary driven. It's not other people's words driven. It's just Spirit gives us. So we're gonna go on the Holy Spirit rabbit trail today. Y'all hang in there with me. It finally does get to the lesson. So and it started when I was thinking about how we recently moved our clocks back. You know, we fell back in time. Nod your heads if you remember that event. Okay. It made me wonder how many of us prefer daylight savings time. Raise your hands. This is not a test. Okay, that's good. And how many prefer regular time? Okay, more people prefer regular time. I am one of those people that loves regular time. I love it. I arise in darkness, I get a cup of coffee, I curl up in my chair, I do my quiet time, I listen to the world wake up. But my favorite thing about it actually is the sunrise. This morning, the sunrise was the palest yellow. It was just gossamer yellow. Sometimes it's really bright red, sometimes it's magenta like crazy. And what I really love is when the tangential rays of the sun start streaming through the bare branches of our trees, and then they come into our living room. It's like a gentle kiss from God. And I love it because it reminds me that he's doing something today because no two sunrises are alike, right? So I've been rolling around in the sunrise and all of that kind of thing. And then I began wondering why light exerts such a pull on us. And it does. It exerts a pull on us. Y'all know I grew up in West Texas. Well, we have dark skies in West Texas. So we're always out looking at celestial lights. And the millions of stars in the Milky Way just look like milk spread across the sky. It's magnificent. And I grew up looking at that. And I always felt sorry for people, you know, who lived in cities. Because they didn't get to see the stars like we did. But up in an urban environment, there are other lights that are very meaningful to you. Like traffic lights. Those are very meaningful. Buildings that are lit up at night and they have different patterns and they have different colors and identifies the building. Some places have bridges that have lights on them, like New York. I'm thinking about that. So you decorated store windows. There are lights that are important to you, even if you live in a city, okay? So here I am going on. Then I'm thinking about lights. There are other lights that are special to us, like candles, twinkle lights at Christmas. I remember when I was a kid, under the covers with a flashlight. Did anybody else do that? Oh, yes, one person at least did that. That was just fascinating to me. Fireplaces. Or fire pits when you're outside camping, porch lights. There are all kinds of lights. Y'all can think of them. For me, a particularly significant light is that rotating beacon at an airport. That's very important to me when I fly. Okay. So then I'm thinking about lights, and I'm thinking about lights, and I'm thinking, okay, well, we actually use that term to describe our experiences. You know, my husband is the light of my life. The light at the end of the tunnel. She has a good reputation. She's seen in a good light. And my particular favorite one is by Leonard Cohen. He says, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. I love that. And we have other experiences, too, that are defined by the absence of light. So I was thinking about light, and then I started thinking about darkness. Have you ever been in absolute darkness? Like, the only time I have is when I went down in a tour for a cavern. And, you know, you go along, and at some point they turn the lights off, and literally you cannot see your hand in front of your face. It is impressive. It's also a little disconcerting. Not, and then turn the light back on, which is really, really great. But we even have images for darkness, like stumbling around in the dark. The darkness of depression, we say. The dark night of the soul. All of that is the absence of light. But there's one statement that sums up kind of the whole thing, and it puts the two together. And the statement is, the smallest light defeats the darkness. The light, no matter how small, wins. So I'm thinking about that. Light wins, light wins. So let me give you an example of how those two play. Years ago, when our dog, some of you know this story because I've shared it before, I just plummeted into darkness. And I fought it, but it wrapped around me and I could not crawl out of it. And it was thick and it was heavy. And our counselor then suggested that I draw what I feel. Now, those of you who know me know that I love words, but I am not artistic or creative in any way. I cannot even draw a straight line with a ruler. It's that bad. But since he had never given me a bum steer, I thought, well, maybe I should try it. So what am I going to do? How am I going to draw what I feel? So I decided that what I was going to do was color a sheet of paper, just like those in front of your old sheet of paper. I was going to color it black. And so I worked on it and worked on it and worked on it and worked furiously on it, doing it all day long. Y'all, I used up 4 black Crayolas. And what happened was, no matter how hard I tried, there was always a little sliver of white that I couldn't get. So I'd go back and, you know, and then there'd be another one over here. Finally, I gave up. The light won. And it actually, that really did help me in some ways. So why does light impact us the way it does that? The thing I think of first when I think of light is, you see how the Holy Spirit's going rabbit trailing along? I think of eyesight, you know, because our eyes are intricately designed with rods and cones and nerves and adjustable lenses and, you know, all for the reception of light and how to channel that to your optic nerve, which turns an image upside down and sends it to your brain that turns it right back up. The whole thing to me is a miracle. It is a miracle. But we would not have sight if we didn't have light. So it serves a deep purpose in us. It also makes safe. You know, I'm scared of the dark, Mommy. Turn a light on. All the monsters go away. Makes us feel safe. Guides us to safe harbors. That rotating beacon. You can always find an airport to land. It lifts our spirits. It welcomes others. Those porch lights that are on say, come on in. It exposes rotten things. Like when you turn a rock over and there's stuff under it. It exposes that. It can sanitize. It can cauterize. It can actually heal. You know, it's like magic. Light is like magic. But I was still left with the question of, where is Lord? You know, this is all interesting to me. It probably bore everybody else. But where are you going? Why the inexorable draw of light? And then it dawned on me. It's because of the season we are entering. The short answer is, we are fascinated by light because God created us to be fascinated by light. We have a physical pull toward light because that is a hint of a deeper spiritual need that we have for light. Physical, yes. God placed that desire for light in us to draw us to Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. And he's not just physical. He's the light of the spiritual world too. So we are designed so that our pull toward physical light actually pulls us toward Christ. Okay? So in this crazy season that we're about to enter, remember that it's not an accident that our Savior was born at the darkest time of year. The light came into the world, and the darkness could not and cannot overcome it. So as we enter this season of, as a friend of mine said, celibateness, let every light you see remind you that Jesus is the light of the world, and let that light, no matter how tiny, draw you to him during this season. So that's how the Spirit got me where I was going, which at the time I thought, what in the world? I'm going to close with a Celtic prayer. It's slightly edited by me because they're usually very long. And if you aren't familiar with Celtic prayer, just let their love of Jesus and language and nature just roll over you, okay? All right, let's pray. Blessed are you, child of the dawn, you who are wrapped in light as with a garment. We await you more than we await the break of day. We watch this morning for the light that the darkness has not overcome. We watch for the fire that was in the beginning and that still burns in the brilliance of the rising sun. We watch for your light, O Christ, in the eyes of every living creature and in the ever-living flame of our own souls. If the grace of seeing were ours this day, we would glimpse you in all that lives. Grant us the grace of seeing. And may the light of the Father illumine the hearts of our souls. May the flame of Christ kindle us to love. And may the fire of the Spirit free us to see and live this day, tonight, and forever. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Follow the Spirit to your small group. And no matter where he leads you.